Father, we just worship you today. We declare your goodness, your mercy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Lord, bring a newness of life as a result of beholding you and your love today. Father, we set ourselves to receive in the fear of the Lord. Father, we consecrate ourselves afresh to you to do your will, to serve you for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we are well able. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Before I share the word, I'm not going to turn around yet. We're going to listen to a testimony from Sister Donna Mirabella. But before we do, my wife Donna has sent out some prayer requests this week relative to communication with them, and felt it'd be good to read that prayer request ahead so you can follow the context of what she'll be sharing. And if you didn't get a prayer request, Donna does with text. She does personal text to everyone. She doesn't do group text, so you don't have your phone beeping off constantly. So if you want to be able to be a part of those things, for one, we would kindly ask, check your phone. You know, we hear repeatedly, oh, yeah, I didn't see my phone for 3 days. And then it's like, well, you missed it. So it'd be wise to check. It's so easy, so quick. You know, so you want to, you know, just stay aware from whoever needs to communicate to you. But that's a quicker way. And it takes time to do all of that. So we want to know, you know, that whoever we're forwarding things to, that they're actually receiving it and not wasting my wife's time. Shane, would you read that? Read those three requests there.
First request from Alan Erickson. He says, the Mirabellas had arranged to reach the new, as of yet not reached tribe, the Wasabi, today. However, when they went to fill up their truck with diesel, they found that somebody had stolen their gas cap. So unless they find one, they will not be able to go in today. Finding one there will be quite difficult, but for God, please pray. And then prayer request that Miss Donna had sent out 8:40 that same morning. She wrote, please pray now. Let us agree in prayer that God will move this situation. I just received this text from Alan Erickson. And then she goes on and repeats the text that I had just read. Then it was an update she sent out later that same day. An update from Alan after we prayed prayer of agreement. It says, the Mirabellas made it in to present the one and only true and living God to the Wasabi tribe. They were able to share with about 50 people from this tribe. They had never heard the truth of what Jesus had done for them. I wish you could have heard Donna's whole testimony of what transpired. It's amazing. All were hard-hearted, cold, not even wanting to listen to them in the beginning. But after they shared what Jesus did for them, all 50 of them gave their lives to Jesus. They want them to come back soon. There is so much more. God is awesome.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to share what Sister Donna had sent to us. Brother Allen's in Ohio today, sharing at his sister's church. So he won't be here, but I felt important to share this and allow you to be blessed. And as I say frequently, the great harvest and times the unreached people groups of the world. And I'm pleased to say that the missions relationships we have are all doing that. And Alan's been brought to be a part of the fellowship and has taken that place where I would have gone before, and doing that and doing excellent. And it's very, very, very exciting. So now we'll play the it was audio text that she sent, and then there's a couple pictures that will come through here then too. So be blessed.
Jesus, they came, Alan. they didn't want to hear nothing, and by the time God moved, when we asked, when we shared the gospel message and the story of Jesus paying the price for sin on the cross, and nobody has to pay for their sin any longer, by the time we told the story of the cross, all their hands went up. We asked them to raise their hands. We said, first we're going to pray for your needs. Then we're going to ask you to receive Christ as the Savior of your soul. And then we'll pray for the sick. At that point, everybody's hands went up. They all were just like, they wanted to receive Christ. They never heard the story. We had the best time. I'm telling you, Alan, there wasn't one hand that didn't go up. I was actually like, God, is this real? Like, did someone tell them to raise their hands? Like, what is this? What am we seeing? But the Holy Spirit moved and softened all the hard hearts that were hard and despondent and eyes that were cold. And God just did what he does. Oh, my goodness. Alan, next year, guess where you're going? This door is wide open. We're going to go back in a couple of days. They have nothing. They have nothing. They're laying under a rock on nothing. They have one blanket that some foreigners gave them, and they have nothing. And we're going to just buy a bunch of Maasai blankets. I asked if I brought a blanket, would you receive it? And they were like, yes. So we're just going to go buy a pile of blankets. And we told them we're not their answer, although, you know, in some areas we can help when we can. But they don't know I'm going to bring blankets, but we are going to go back. Oh, my goodness, Jesus, you're amazing. Our prayer before we left as we were seeking God was Moses' prayer. God, unless you go before us, what makes us any different than any other tribe, any other people? Unless you go before us, all we are is another guest, another foreigner coming to see them. They had a whole display of trinkets to sell. They never asked us once to go look at their trinkets. They were just overwhelmed by the presence of God. And God, I mean, we prayed over every one of them. And this is cool too, Alan. As we walked in, they were a people group hidden in rocks and clefts of rocks and under trees. We would have walked by them if we were ever hiking. They were invisible, totally invisible. So as we came up to two old men under a thicket of trees, bushes, as we walked in, the Lord told me that the man's legs, his feet hurt. And I waited till they all finished talking, and I said, do your feet hurt? And the old man said, no. And I was like, huh, because I really thought I heard God say it. So I was like, your feet don't hurt, really? And he goes, no, I'm fine. Well, in the end of the end, after we shared the gospel and prayed for them over 3 hours of fellowship, and God just softening with the Holy Spirit, just softening them, and then them receiving, and then receiving prayer and healing. Every prayer, Steve and I and the team, Rumis and Lakuti, every prayer we prayed, everybody said, my feet. And I was like, wow, God. You told me feet when I walked in, and I thought it was that man. I made a mistake. I thought it was the man. But you said feet, and here's all their feet hurt. So we ministered and prayed for feet and chest colds. And then all of a sudden, that little old geezer comes walking up, and he's like, pray for my feet. And I was like, you! I asked you the first time I walked in. When I looked at you, I heard God say, your feet. And he goes, I was afraid to tell you. I was afraid to tell you. And I was like, and everybody heard. So they all stood there when I was saying that to him. And I'm like, look at this. Like, God said feet when I walked in. And it was God. And that's his relationship with man. He wants to be able to speak to us and us to respond. And anyway, it was just so precious. And we're invited back. And oh my goodness, all we could, there's no words. There are no words. Only praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God of heaven. You know everything. You know, you hear the cries of man, and you're seeking and saving the lost. Amazing. I'll send you more pictures in a little while. They ask to be remembered, and I ask to take pictures so that we can share them with the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ, God knew they were there, but we didn't. And now the body of Christ will, and we'll all pray for each other. We told them we're not your answer, but God is your answer. So, amen.
Yes, Alan, we got a temporary. We're going to get a genuine tomorrow.
Let's just call it a temporary, just so we can keep the mission moving forward. Amen. Oh, my goodness, we missed you. We missed you. You would have laughed and cried and cried. Oh, my goodness. There are no words. It was just the best day ever. We talked about there being that the God of heaven sent us, and that he's inviting the whole world to know him, and that he didn't want to leave them out. And I asked what they believe, and they said they know there's a God in heaven, and they call him, it's the equivalent to God. And they know that this is what they believe, that God protects them in the day and puts the sun up. He owns the sun. And the sun is a guard, and it guards them in the day because they can see. But at night, when everything gets dark, God goes to sleep. And they need to go to sleep because God is sleeping and his protection is sleeping. So they all need to quickly just go to sleep. And then when they wake up, he puts the sun back, the Linda guard that guards, G-U-A-R-D, that will guard them. Anyway, pretty wild. And then to just share the whole gospel message about Jesus coming and God loving us so much that he sent his son to show us the way to live, and that every tribe, what it says in Revelation, every nation, tribe, and tongue is going to stand before his throne. But at this point, the wasabi are not there, and his heart is broken, and he wants them to be there. But it was just amazing. God is so good. Amen, amen. That's what we told them. And we got to say, you know, we're nobody's answer. We're just people like you. You know, no man will ever be your answer. But even if we come and give you clothes, we leave and the clothes run out. You know, if we come and we bring you food, tomorrow you'll be hungry. But Jesus stays forever. I said the gift that we're leaving here, the gift God wants to give you is a gift that is forever. So people will come and go, but he stays with you forever, all your days. He's a loving father who wants his children to know him. And then he gave us that opportunity to, the way he spoke about the ankles and the feet. And they saw firsthand that God spoke, and we went through that. We went through the authority he gives us in his name. We went through his faithfulness. We went through him being a dad who cares and loves and wants to guide and lead. We went through Jesus being an example of living it on earth to follow him, and that we're gonna, there was a couple of people, one person who knew how to read, but a handful that knew Swahili. And we said we're going to get them the Swahili Bibles. And anyway, and we asked for pictures, and they said yes. And I said the pictures are because we want people at home, you know, like God knew you were here, but we never knew it. And until God spoke. And when he spoke, he told us to come, and he said you were here, and he wanted you guys to know he sees you, and he knows you, and he loves you, and he wants you, and he is calling you. So we said that the pictures we're going to show people at home, other believers who are in the family of God, who now will know that there's brothers and sisters in Christ that are in the Wasabi, and that the Wasabi will stand before the throne of God with all the other nations he's called. And it was just, we told them to cheer. They actually had a struggle. And one of them shared, the hope that you're stirring in us, we don't know how to feel because there is no hope here. But we're feeling hope, and we don't understand what we're feeling because hope is stirring. So I said, regardless of all of that, you still have to. I said, what happens if you had a big catch? You caught a big fat old baboon that all the men brought home and you were going to eat. You tell me you were not going to be happy over a big fat baboon that's going to feed you? I said, what is the excitement you will feel? I said, how much more excitement will you feel? Do you feel now that God provided a way that your sin is covered, you don't have to pay for your sin, and that Jesus paid for you, and he made a way for you to get to heaven if you receive what Christ did on the cross? He gave his life. And if you receive that, the joy to know your debt is paid and you can come to heaven if you follow in his example and his way. And I said, and on that I'm saying, lift up a shout. They didn't know how to lift up a shout, and we lifted up a shout. It was awesome. Amen, amen. God is good. I can't stop. I'm just overflow. Sorry. I'm glad it's on tape so that you can shut it off if you want to. Poor Steve's got to listen to me. I'm just like, oh God, you're just amazing.
Well, that's pretty relative to what we just heard. Father, we thank you that the Wahasabi tribe, some members of that tribe in Tanzania, were born again, came to the light. We know that all heaven was rejoicing in the angels of the Lord. We rejoice with them, Father. But they're members of the body of Christ, part of the family of God. Though we may never see them in the flesh, we will see them in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the multitudes that are in heaven, as revealed by your word. I thank you for that, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've moved where Satan tried to stop the gospel. The Spirit of God could not be stopped. That you brought the Mirabellas to that people where they didn't even know they existed. And you brought them to there while Satan tried to stop them. That which he meant for evil turned for good. We thank you, Lord God. Father, pray for Stephen and Donna Mirabella, Father, that you bring the things needed by them, vehicle and to finish the property, the wall around their property, their building. And Lord, the provision, Lord, to take food, clothing to these people that have no access to any such thing. But we know, Father, your heart stirred in love toward them. Father, we're thankful we can be a part of such a wonderful thing happening. Lord, that we can take our place, fulfill our part in it. And we know there's reward shared equally in the body of Christ for the work that's being done, whether it seems to be great in the eyes of man or not. Lord, you reward obedience. Father, we just rejoice in the release of faith that brought salvation to so many there. And to the other tribes are reaching out to in that area. We thank you for it, Father. Father, stir our hearts to believe and trust you for souls to be saved where we are. To stand together. allowing no work of the enemy to divide, conquer, hinder in any way. For we know the church is the great hindrance to the Antichrist spirit. And Lord, that we shall not be hindered as we walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. We shall be unhindered, but we shall be a hindrance to the enemy's work. And Father, many shall come to you in this last day and this last hour before the return of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. That's so awesome. Open your Bibles to Matthew 16. I want to start at verse 13. It's one of my favorite passages to preach from. And there's a particular point that I want to emphasize that will come out through here. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, or some say Jeremiah or Elijah, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, you don't get by because somebody else knows Jesus. You need to know him. A child may, for a time, ride on their parents' faith, but there'll come the day they have to stand and believe for themselves. And it's not like an appointed time, or was there a scripture that says when that is. No, God knows. And it's relative to the truth that you know and that they know. We're accountable to the truth that we know. Be very careful in making judgments against other people, because you don't know what they're accountable for. There may be something you have a conviction about that you see someone else doesn't. And that doesn't give you a right to judge them. That's between them and the Lord, and he'll hold people accountable for what he's holding them accountable. What he knows that they should know or do know, and they need to be acting upon or walking in. I remember, see, this would have been 96. Jesse was about 11, so 96. And I was going to leave to go to Poland, I believe, at that time. And he had gotten poison ivy, like, really bad. I mean, all whole full body poison ivy. Right before I left, it was driving him nuts, and we prayed over him. I left, and Donna was playing a Gloria Copeland teaching on healing the whole day for him, and he received the faith to believe God and received the healing himself. At that time, he was accountable to the Lord because he grew up hearing this all the time and seeing it and hearing it. He knew that truth, but it came a point God said, okay, it's your time to stand. See, sometimes baby Christians receive a miracle or healing or something, and it's because they don't really know and aren't really accountable yet, they might ride on someone else's faith. But down the line, they're going to have to stand. And people get confused because they don't understand this principle. You can ride as a baby Christian on someone else's faith, but there comes a point you need to stand. And I was so pleased to hear, because it was a miraculous healing, because you know a poison ivy, what's that last, like a week, 10 days or something like that. It was overnight. It was all gone. Well, once you have a shot of or experience of God moving in your life, it changes everything for you. It changes everything. And as a father, wanting to be a spiritual father to my son, I was so pleased, so, you know, just blessed. It's like he rose up and laid hold of it for himself. Now, somebody else, maybe they're 20 years old when that happens, and somebody else maybe when they're six. But that was his day. This day, and he heard the word all day. That was more important than playing games. We didn't make him do it. He wanted to. He saw his need, and he received. So I think of that. That comes to my mind as I read those verses. Who do you say that I am? So Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this was an electric moment in the Holy Ghost. There are times, there are moments in the Spirit where it's like a jolt of electricity. It's powerful. Don't ever minimize that. When someone's excited telling the testimony what the Lord's doing, never discourage that. You hear me? Never discourage that. It's a very important moment in time for people. You celebrate with them is what you do. Celebrate it with them. And it might be something you know inside and out, upside down. You're not walking in love if you don't celebrate it with them. Read 1 Corinthians 13. There's things that love rejoices in. And this for Peter was just a powerful moment because he declared who Christ was. Now, this is the guy that always had his foot in his mouth, always seemed to be making a mistake. He was rather impulsive, and you could hear him before you could see him. He was just that kind of guy. But at this moment, the revelation of the Holy Ghost is upon him, working within him, and it's declaring that which is very powerful. And it's just alive inside of him. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood's not revealed it unto thee." You see, there are things you can learn from man, but then there's the revelation of the Holy Spirit, who's called our teacher. And just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you have the revelation or the understanding. See, that's a mistake people make. You become easily very Pharisaical if you're just a knowledge spitter. But as we have revelation of the character of God, the life of God, it changes us. And it becomes a bearing, like a lighthouse, which they're not used anymore. We have GPS and all that other stuff, but you know, years ago, people traveled a lot by ship, and a lighthouse would guide them in. And it's like that. Revelation knowledge. And he said, it's on this rock. He said, "You're Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church." The rock is the revelation of Christ. That is the rock you build on. Now, this is such a vitally important truth in the Bible. It's on that rock the church is built. And the foundation of this church is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The character of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of Jesus. That's what you build on. Now, a church could try to build on something else, but that's going to be a very weak foundation. We're not building a social club. We're not building an entertainment center. But Jesus is building his church, and it's built on the rock of the revelation of Christ. I'll never leave that. We're building on the rock. Therefore, the teaching and preaching of the Word of God is the main thing. When it comes to prayer, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to do His ministry, to reveal things to us and strengthen us and impart to us, to change us, transform us, to glorify Christ through us. But prayer, we pray the word. You don't just say prayers. That's religion. But the prayer of faith, the praying the word of God. Well, if you don't have the word of God, what are you going to pray? Something out of your head, that's what. Your own whims. And then people get off with that. They get discouraged. Because God's not about honoring your prayers. He honors His word. That's prayed in faith from a revelation by the Holy Spirit. It's on this rock I will build my church. He is building His church. He will do it. It's going to be done. There's no like if, ands, buts, maybes. Him get tired of it, get tired of you. You can't make Him get tired of you. He loves you. I will build. It's being built. His church, or the people of God. He is building a family that's in fellowship with Him, that knows Him. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. I want to just declare to you that no matter what's going on in the world or around us, the church will prevail. Doesn't say a believer will prevail. The church of Jesus Christ, His people, corporately together, will prevail. The church will continue on. No matter if there's wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, persecution and affliction, the church will prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, throughout history, there's been massive persecutions, and there still is today, just not here. Massive persecutions. There's been wars. I mean, I marvel, like World War II, 60 million people were killed in a 4 to 5 year period of time. 60 million people. All those things, Satan would use those things to try to stop the plan, purpose of God, that He have a family and fellowship with Him, to stop the gospel from going forth. The gates of hell will not prevail. And as you were just hearing testimony earlier, Sister Mirabella, prior to that trip, somebody damaged their the vehicle they had to carry everybody and everything back to where these unreached people were. And there are a lot of things come against them. And if the in those places, if the tribal leaders, if they don't invite them in, they just go in, they'll never come out. That's been the history. There's been foreigners go in and they're never seen again. The tribe that was reached there, I don't recall if she said that on there, if Alan told me this, but they are the ones like that kill people with poison darts. And you know, like you're so tormented of the enemy and so fearful they kill whoever would even come, never even giving them a chance because they're in a spirit of fear. But all that Satan would have and all that he could do will not prevail to stop the gospel. God will use those who will go forward in faith with a boldness in the Holy Ghost, having a compassion, it would drive them to where the lives of the unreached are even more important than their own. Because when you know you could be killed, you might make a decision to say, I don't think that's a good idea. Now, that's not for all of us to go in that manner. But my point is that the love of God would compel His people to go take the gospel. And throughout history, this has been the history since the resurrection of Christ, where there's been a people going forth. Some martyred, some died. You have a whole birthing of whole other people groups. And what the Bible shows us in the book of Revelations, at the end, there'll be people from every tribe, every tongue, every tribe, every nation. And as Sister Mirabella shared, nobody even knew these people were there. It's a tribe of like 1,500. And they've got to be reached too. And whether it's in Africa or South Asia or wherever, there's people that need to be reached. And when one generation passes, there's a whole other generation born. There are many in different parts of the world that were once heavily Christian that are not saved. You know, North Korea, Pyongyang, at the turn of the 20th century, in the early 1900s, that was considered the Jerusalem of Asia. Many, many Christians. It was viewed as a Christian city. And in just a couple generations, with the communism come in, it was somewhat eradicated. But God's still moving there. He's still moving in China. There's a great underground church. And as I hear of how I'd seen a brother recently share on YouTube about someone going in there in China and the people, how they would give their life for a Bible and they would sit all day to hear the word. Now, I'm not beating on you, or I'm not doing a comparison in that sense. I'm just wanting to make a point that people in great darkness will go to great lengths for light. And for us, application here, we need to be very thankful for all that we have. Be a worshiper and praiser of God, giving thanks, never complaining. Giving thanks to Him for how He's blessed us so much. It's very easy to look at things for what they're not instead of for what is that's good. If you look for what something or someone is not, there's no end to it. There's no end to it. And you become a very, very negative person at best. But if we can see what is, we can be thankful for our brother or sister for what is working in grace, not for what's not in them. You're not going to make much of a difference in anyone's life if you approach everybody for what they're not. You become a critic and a judge. But if we can learn to see according to the grace that's in people, we can celebrate that and possibly contribute or edify to one another's growth. Well, on this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Keep that in your mind when you hear the news. Because the Bible shows us in the end it's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better in the natural, in the flesh. It's going to get worse and worse. There are some people that have this really shallow, false idea, and I'm not thinking any of you as I say this, but now and then my wife and I encounter people, and they'll just say things like, well, everything will work out. Everything will work out. God loves us. Everything will work out. That's not true. There is sorrow. There is death. There are wars, even presently. There are persecutions. But through all of it, the greater one lives in us. We have the victory. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we don't have to settle for defeat. Yet at the same time, the evil is around us. And the principle is that as we give everything to God, what Satan means for evil, God turns for good. Amen. Whatever negative or evil or something of the curse on this earth is coming your way, give it to God in faith. You might not feel like you have any faith at the moment, but give it to him in faith. And he can turn it for the glory of God and be glorified. Another false teaching that floats around, not in this house, but it floats around. Well, God makes it causes everything. That's a lie from the devil. There are some things are in the plan of God and he causes, and there are some things the devil's causing, and then there's some things you cause. And a lot of times some of the problems we have, we're causing for ourselves. Don't blame that on God. There are things the enemy's doing, don't blame that on God. When you find what God's wanting to do and to cause, submit to that. Walk in obedience and let him work that in your life, through your life, that he'd be glorified. You see, if the devil can make us to believe that, well, God, he makes everything happen. If something bad's happening, well, then you'll never resist, as the Bible tells us. You won't resist the devil. Because you have confusion whether this is God or the devil. Resist the devil, submit to God. That's what James 4:6 says. Resist the devil, submit to God. Let him work. Don't fall into the thing of trying to figure everything out, plan everything. Because your life will not carry a testimony like you heard if you're going to try to control everything and plan everything and make everything happen. But if you just obey and follow after love, God he's looking for that too, because without that we won't let him put us in the place he wants us to be, where that unreached tribe's sleeping under a rock. We won't come to that place because our mind won't dictate that or figure it out. But it's just by faith we learn just to stay submitted by faith, yearning for his presence, his will, yearning to be used of him to touch the life of other people. And I believe so strongly that in this end time, these last days, God's looking for a people. He's looking for a people he can use and flow through. It would involve the compassion of the Lord to even compel you out towards others. It's very easy to get so irritated by human beings all around you. You stay on that course, you'll be irritated so much you'll be living life alone because nobody's good enough for you. We can't allow that, but we need to pursue love and the love of God will carry us forward. In 1 Corinthians, as it says to seek and desire spiritual gifts, it says to desire and pursue love. And as you move on that, that's where the Holy Spirit can operate in our life. So I share that as somewhat of an exhortation. Don't let the consciousness of the evil get you down. God will prevail. I don't care how bad it gets. You had the persecutions of the Roman Empire. The church overcame and rose up above all of it. You have various other things through history. Wars, rumors of wars, persecutions. But the church rose up. And in the end, regardless of what we're personally encountering, the church shall rise above it. And sometimes you don't realize how much you depend on yourself, your own ability, till you're really pressed against the wall. As a figure of speech. Till you're really, the enemy's hitting hard at you. And you, when you give it over to him, there's a rest. You can laugh at it. You can rest. There's a joy. And the world has trouble figuring that out. What's wrong with you? You have joy or peace in the midst of what's going on. But that's available to us. Well, it's on this rock. He's building his church, his people. Father, I pray you help us to apply this truth to our heart and to our life. Give us wisdom for application of the word. Father, change our heart by your word. May this word just echo in our spiritual ears. And even as we lie on our bed this very night, that we hear your word in our spirit. Lord, we cast every care upon you. We give every situation over to you. We thank you, Father, for moving in us, through us, and among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.